We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from our homes. It's an emergency podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, CHGO White Sox beat writer Vinny Duber and Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
Okay. Your CHGO White Sox community leader. We are coming to you live. It would have been nice, I don't know, 2 hours ago, Chris Getz. We said, I think at 5:30, just do it now. We're live. Hey, whatever. We're here for you. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. Make sure you're subscribing. We know our diehards are in here. If you're not a diehard, we'd love to see you join. Head over to allchgo.com and sign up today. You get a free shirt of your choice, a nice little box with some stickers and a membership card, and you get to join the Discord and react to the Dylan Cease trade. Details are still emerging, and we don't really know what the full trade is yet. We are piecing together report. Jeff Passan had it first. Jeff Passan reported the details of the trade that Dylan Cease will be traded to the San Diego Padres. And then John Morosi of MLB Network included that Drew Thorpe and I did not get a lot of time to practice this name.
Jairo
Iriarte.
There you go. We did it.
All right. Boom. Let's go. So the fifth and eighth prospects of the Padres organization coming over in the trade. Also, Samuel Zavala, not related to Sebastian Zavala, former White Sox catcher, but Samuel Zavala, the seventh ranked prospect, was also reported to be included in this package, along with Major League reliever Steven Wilson, who maybe he's related to a Beach Boy. I'm not sure. But so far, it's 4-for-1. Foul territory, which Ken Rosenthal works for, said that it was a haul. First off, people kind of were like, oh, only two prospects, not a haul. I don't know if this is over yet. We might still be giving you details of this trade as this podcast goes along. But gentlemen, Vinny, there you go. Take over.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there to just to clarify. We're getting your, as you mentioned, this is literally happening like right now. We're watching it happen on Twitter. So the MLB's Mark Feinstein says the entire return for Dylan Cease is the four players that you just read off there.
All right. So just to recap, Mark Feinstein saying per sources, the entire return for Dylan Cease is right-handed pitcher Drew Thorpe, the fifth prospect per MLB pipeline. Samuel Zavala, the number seventh prospect in the Padres system per MLB pipeline. Jairo Iriarte, the number eighth prospect per MLB pipeline in the Padres system. And then 29-year-old reliever Steven Wilson. Wilson has pitched 106 innings in his major league career, 348 ERA. He's a righty who throws his sweeper about 60% of the time. So he's going to be a real fun pitcher to watch. And I really think that that's a true sicko inclusion from Brian Bannister. So let's start off with the least important inclusion of the trade package. Steven Wilson, what is your guys' thoughts?
I don't know if I have any thoughts on Steven Wilson quite yet. What I will talk about is Dylan Cease getting traded. And I think that, listen, this is akin to, you know, if we our show existed in 2016 and 2017, this is the kind of show that we would have been having when Rick Hahn traded Chris Sale, when Rick Hahn traded Adam Eaton, and when Rick Hahn traded Jose Quintana. This is really the only opportunity, at least in terms of the big league roster that he was handed, that Chris Getz had to make a trade like this and try to infuse as much talent as he could with one player into the system and to build for the future. Certainly you can't blame White Sox fans for not being as excited as they were with the trade returns that Rick Hahn got in those trades that I alluded to earlier, because why is this trade being made? Because that rebuilding process never got off the ground. And now that is why Chris Getz is in charge. And so he has to start this thing over again. It's a brand new cycle. Dylan Cease goes away in the same offseason that Tim Anderson went away in the same, last calendar year that Lucas Giolito went away. I mean, the future that could have been is being dismantled to produce a new future that Chris Getz hopes will be a lot more fruitful and a lot more productive. I mean, listen, by the end of this season, we could be seeing the end of the White Sox tenures of Yoan Moncada, the end of the White Sox tenure of Eloy Jimenez. I mean, this is, the future that was trying to be built by Rick Hahn being completely kind of disassembled because a new future needs to be built. And now you've got these players coming over from San Diego, joining a lot of the guys that Rick Hahn acquired at the trade deadline last year to kind of try to build that future. Certainly Colson Montgomery is the biggest name in that minor league system right now, but here's a few other guys that are going to rise right to the top, you would have to imagine, of the White Sox prospect rankings. A lot is made of top 100 guys. Certainly, though, everything's relative, right? And so to get the number 7 and 8 prospects in the Padres system is a much bigger deal than getting the number 7 and 8 prospects in another system, right? I mean, these guys are, I think Padres had 6. Their top 6 are all in the top 100, now including Drew Thorpe, who is going to be coming over to the White Sox and become, their third top 100 prospect behind Montgomery and Noah Schultz. So, it's the White Sox getting better in the long run. But again, White Sox fans have been burned by this before in terms of all this prospect capital. They know not to necessarily bank on it because only time can tell if this is going to be a winning deal for Chris Getz or not.
I feel it's a great deal for the White Sox. I feel like Chris Getz, I mean, the steady hand as a rookie general manager that he shows that, hey, I'm going to get the deal that I want or I'm not going to trade Dylan Cease. I just saw that AJ Casavell, who writes for, I think, the San Diego Union Tribune, is like, yeah, AJ Preller is on his way getting ready to pack for Korea. And he's like, Dylan Cease, let's go and get him. And so I told you about my guy, AJ Preller. I told you. And they're coming for me to take me away because I'm so excited about this deal. All right, enough out there, people in my uptown neighborhood. I'm just excited
put
Zavala in the deal. Initially, looking at the first couple people that they announced, I was like, good, not great. But I know we just talked on our 5 o'clock podcast. Sean, you got to be over the moon. I mean, you got the guy that you were gushing about in our pre-show meeting today. So I'm thinking that the White Sox, just on first blush, got the deal that they wanted, and they got a positive deal. I think thumbs up for most White Sox fans here.
Well, we'll go to the chat. AJ is upset that we are not getting 3 a.m. Herbcast. I also would have liked 3 a.m. Herbcast, but hey, maybe we can just bring that to the people during the season. And Blank Name is chiming in saying, IDK about this trade. We did not get a top 4 prospect in the Padres system. Make sure you're smashing that like button. If you have any thoughts about the trade, make sure you're commenting in the chat, and Sarah will be popping them up on the screen. Also, shout out to Sarah for producing the show. I think that Thorpe is a good headliner for sure. He was a headliner in the Soto trade, and that's Juan Soto. That happened this offseason. He wasn't really ever a Padres guy. Flashed a little bit in spring training, and let me go to my notes. Lance Brozdowski, who works over at Marquee Network, said that, funny enough, the comparison for Drew Thorpe is Lucas Giolito, a guy that we're all very familiar with. Lance's breakdown of Thorpe is his changeup has fastball movement, but it's at 82 miles per hour, 60% swing and miss on it last year. It's a, just a very baffling pitch. You commented on him fooling Elvis Andrus. I mean, that's a guy that's played like 17 seasons of baseball and just absolutely could not figure out Thorpe's changeup. The rest of his mix isn't great, though, as Lance says. The fastball is just 92 miles per hour, 18 inches of vertical break, but the release is high. Doesn't get a ton of swing and miss. It's a below average offering for Lance at the present. The cutter's interesting, has some sweep and lift at 87 miles per hour. Got beat up late in the season, but had swing and miss held over 30%. And the slider is a short sweeper at 83 miles per hour with 7 inches of sweep. He's thinking that Bannister will likely try to increase Thorpe's velocity. He's coming from Cal Poly. He was very good. He was their Friday starter, just dominant at Cal Poly in college. I think he's an intriguing first pitch or headliner for Cease. And it's mainly just because when you look, when the Rays do this, when they try to get rid of Tyler Glasnow, they try to replace him with Ryan Pepiel, right? They try to get a guy to replace the guy. It's going to be nearly impossible to replace Dylan Cease and try to live this fantasy again where you're able to flip a pitcher. We obviously saw it with Chris Sale. We saw it with Dylan Cease. In a way, they saw it with Lucas Giolito. But to have a guy really pan out, it's difficult. I think he's got a pitch that will help him get to the major leagues. And then to go along having the seventh prospect and the eighth prospect, it makes it interesting. The thing too about Zavala, he's not even 20 yet. July 15th is his birthday, 2004. He's only 19. He's a lefty that can play center and right field. So hey, maybe they'll finally have a right fielder to go out for. And then Jairo Iriarte, he is ETA ready for 2024. He's 22. He's going to be 23 in December. 6'2", kind of thin, 160. So maybe he's similar to Christian Mana, but unlike Mana, he's prime pitch is his fastball. On that 20 to 80 scale, Vinny, it's a 65 pitch. So it is very, very good. We saw a ranking from MLB Pipeline today on their Twitter, showing all the breakout players and their fastball grades. Paul Skeens, the former number one overall pick, has an 80 grade fastball. Jordan Leisure has an 80 grade fastball. And then Alex Spies has a 70 grade fastball. So Iriarte, just a notch below those guys, but he's a starter, only threw about 90 innings last year, but it's interesting enough. I think Thorpe is equal to Spencer Jones as a headliner. So at least that part, I don't think gets screwed up. Four players, especially Steven Wilson, who's under control until 2028. You know, I mean, they have four guys that will hopefully help them for 6+ years.
Well, yeah. And I think that's the thing that is the most interesting.
Oop, you just muted yourself.
There we go.
What's it? What's so interesting, Vinny? Tell me.
I thought it was. I mean, I think what's interesting is if I'm going to make the comparison to, you know, the way Rick Hahn rebuilt this or tried to rebuild this team versus the way Chris Getz is trying to rebuild this team, it's about a timeline, right? And Chris Getz is trying to perhaps bring things about a little bit quicker than Rick Hahn did it. Rick Hahn, you know, acquired the players that he did. They were very well thought of, and it was like, all right, we'll see you in 3-4 years. Chris Getz, the two headliners of this trade, perhaps, certainly, you know, Zavala is ranked one notch ahead of Iriarte, but, you know, if you're going to call the headliners Thorpe and Iriarte the two pitchers, like you mentioned, the ETA on MLB.com for those guys is both 2024. Who knows if that means we'll see them pitching for the White Sox this season, but to have them be close-ish or closer, you know, is kind of a big deal. And I think that the idea is that Chris Getz can get himself a pitching staff that looks as good, if not better, than the one that was supposed to be here at this point, and to get it in 1 or 2 years versus a whole big long time. I mean, if we're looking ahead, not to the necessary very long term, but just a year from now. I mean, you know, when we're talking about spring training 2025, all of these names could legitimately be in the mix battling for jobs, whether it's Nick Nastrini, who we expect to see, you know, by before the end of this season. But, you know, go down the line, Jonathan Cannon, Kai Bush, Jake Eater, you know, and then you've got these two guys in Thorpe and Iriarte. That's a big long list. And certainly these are minor leaguers. These are prospects. No one's going to say that all of them are going to pan out into all-star levels, but to be able to choose from that big of a group, when we've been talking about, as recently as, you know, this offseason, the dearth of pitching depth in the minor leagues for the White Sox, it's a pretty big step in the right direction. Of course, as I mentioned, as we're going to say over and over again for the next year or plus until this thing actually, you know, materializes, time will tell. And we're gonna find out if this one worked, because certainly the last one didn't. And so if White Sox fans are going to be hesitant about seeing an all-star level player, one of the better pitchers in baseball, leave town for the promise of future success, if they're going to be hesitant about that, they have every right to be. And, you know, that's the way baseball works. And it was a lesson that was learned the hard way by fans on the South Side.
I'm just kind of amazed in how quickly this team, from when Vinny went there last year in spring training in 2023, that roster to this roster that's going forward with the White Sox. Like, I don't know if Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams do the same thing that Chris Getz just did to transform this team to maybe not, they're not probably going to compete for this year, especially now with Dylan Cease in San Diego. But I think the future is a little bit more bright. And I know we've been down this road as White Sox fans as far as rebuilds. And this is what this is. It's a rebuild. All these players and all the pitchers will most likely be on the 2024 roster eventually this year. Mm-hmm. But the Zavala kid is a little later down the road. But, like, just from the starting rotation from last year to the starting rotation this year, the survivor maybe is Michael Kopech. If he even is on the starting rotation, maybe. Like, that, the whole team has changed. I know, Sean, that's your guy.
He's throwing 140 innings.
120 innings this year. We already got a bet out there.
You ask him, he'll throw 180.
Well, he'll be wrong. But that quick of a turnaround didn't seem possible for the Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams thing. And I am 100% a detractor of the hiring of Chris Getz and how he was hired. But there has been pretty much nothing that I've disagreed with as far as his moves so far. He seems like a guy that is doing well at his job. And as Vinny says, time will tell if these players do well. But the process of him changing this team from what it was, an old, slow, bad team, to what it is now, a team that you might look forward to with power bat and with Zavala, who I think is 19, like you said, and only the Bacello guy in Baltimore hit a higher rate of runs created plus as a young player like he is. So the future is bright for the White Sox, and I got to give kudos to the whole staff out there. It's just a very, very intriguing time for White Sox fans. Instead of the, are we going to compete with this badass AL Central division? It's like, I think they're setting them up for longer-term victories in the future, which is much better than what we've been currently enjoying.
We can only hope. Hopefully one day we'll get that damn parade. Blank Name saying Zavala is the most interesting out of these guys because it seems like he has the most to develop. Like you mentioned, Herb, his age, he is just played his year 18 season. He's going to be 19 this year, but he has 600 plate appearances in A-ball, and he has an 870 OPS, and that's as an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old. And really interesting walk to strikeout ratio as well, 108 walks to 158 strikeouts. So it's really interesting to see a kid that's playing at an age gap that's about 3 years of difference on average, being able to have that nice of a K percent to a walk percent. So hey, maybe they got a right fielder.
Well, and who does that remind you of? Colson Montgomery with that on base percentage through the roof, right? I mean, listen, this is about more than just, all right, who's going to be the 26 guys on the roster the next time this team is good? Chris Getz is trying to establish an identity. He's trying to do an overhaul of really the whole organization. And so in doing that, they're going to try to figure out a thing that is like, this is how the White Sox play. Well, you got Colson Montgomery, who's, you know, on base percentage is like 500 for the most part down in the minor leagues. And now you trade for a guy who, yeah, he's a teenager. We're going to see how it translates once he starts playing at a place that has multiple A's in front of its name. But the idea that this kid walked 100 times last year, you might be starting to see kind of the hallmarks or the hope for hallmarks of what they're trying to do there with Getz and everybody else there on the south side.
And they're not putting their eggs in one basket. You know, they traded for Zach Deloach the next day or the same day. They traded for Dominic Fletcher. They're getting this guy, Savala, maybe a corner outfielder. So they're not putting their eggs in the only this guy, Dominic Fletcher, is going to be the right fielder. Only Zach Deloach is going to be the right fielder. He's putting competition out there, and whoever wins, wins. And that will create a great situation for the White Sox to have if they want to trade these guys later on, if they want to do other things with these guys, they can move them. And so it's a little bit different than the old regime that we had where they were just like, okay, we're trading for this guy and he's our everyday right fielder, everyday other fielder.
All right.
Mazzara. Oh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Herb. Just wanted to add in there about Zavala. I was able to find this on Fangraphs. Let's play a quick game. This is minimum of 500 plate appearances in the Carolina League. How many 18-year-olds or younger had a weighted runs created plus in 500 or more plate appearances, a weighted runs created plus over 135?
I would say five.
I'll five. Say none.
This is since 2006.
Zero.
There's one. 2006? There's one. It's Samuel Zavala.
Oh, I thought you meant other ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. It was zero. Yeah. Samuel Zavala is the only one. Since 2006, 500 plate appearances at least in the California League. This is just A ball then. So, and you know, some of this was advanced day two when, you know, some of these guys were playing. But there's only one other teenager, Domingo Santana. He was 19, 525 plate appearances at 137 weighted runs created plus. Zavala, the only other teenager, 17 to 18, 600 plate appearances, 18% walk rate, 26% K rate, and a 135 weighted runs created plus.
All those White Sox fans with Sebi's jerseys, man, saving themselves for the future.
What was Sebi's number?
On the bench.
40?
44.
44.
Is that right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think it's right. It's pulling up. Yeah, 44. 59 and 44. Hey, maybe someone has a 59 Zavala jersey out there.
There's some future investments to be made at the garage sale.
Yes, there is. All right, so any final thoughts here? I think I'm glad that this chapter is over. I am glad that we don't have to talk about Dylan Cease again. I think it's frustrating that White Sox fans have to deal with this, that White Sox fans just can't enjoy a talent like Dylan Cease. He should be a White Sox for life because he's 27 years old and you're about to build a brand new stadium and you have Luis Robert Jr. in center field. Like, there should be a reason why the White Sox would re-sign Dylan Cease. The main reason why they don't is their owner, and that's a different conversation. And that's frustrating, but I think, you know, we look at the offseason. I think I gave Getz a C+, and that was before the Cease trade. I'd give him a B+. I think he was fine. I mean, with what he was able to do, he obviously doesn't control the budget. I think it's a B+. I think that bummer trade was real nice.
I mean, here's the thing. There's two different grades to give out, right? Because of what you're just talking about. Like, if you're talking about Chris Getz, you know, doing a rebuild and building for the future and setting a foundation for a long-term plan. Yeah, he did exactly what he said he was going to go out and do, and more. Really, he did more than that. But in terms of what you just said, wanting to have this team be competitive, they didn't. They went the opposite direction. This team is, he went out and signed a bunch of low-cost guys who are good in the clubhouse, who are good at fundamental baseball, but who aren't going to hit very well. And now he just traded his second-best player on the team. Maybe the only surefire thing you had in the starting rotation or on the pitching staff in general. I mean, that pitching staff is worse today than it was when the season ended last year, because Dylan Cease isn't a part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys can go out and change that. You know, Eric Fetty can show that what he did in Korea is what he's going to do in the big leagues. Michael Kopech can go up and live up to the expectations. You know, they can have some of these guys have bounce back seasons, and that can be, and we can be talking a very different story in a month, 2 months, or by the end of the season. But right now, Dylan Cease is gone. how is that good for the White Sox in the short term? You know, I mean, this pitching staff is a rebuild pitching staff, as Herb said. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they can't change that narrative. But right now, Dylan Cease is gone, and White Sox fans should be bummed about that because he's one of the better players in baseball, and he was on this team, and now he's not. You know, and this lineup is equally mysterious. So this is just cementing the fact that this is a rebuilding season on the South side. And while there should be hope for the future, because everything, Herb, that you said earlier about the promise of the guys that they just acquired and they have acquired over the last few months is true, you don't have to just be hopeful for the future. You can simultaneously be disappointed that this team is probably going to have very low expectations in 2024.
I feel good for Dylan Cease. That's what I want to end in. Like, he goes from a team that, of course, is not going to be competing this year to a team that wants to compete now. Well, whether they will or not is, you know, part of Dylan Cease's job now, where they got the Michael King, the Yu Darvish, the Joe Musgroves in that rotation. And I think they're set up, you know, with a great infield. And he'll love that infield, Manny Machado, Ha-Seong Kim, Bogaerts going to second base, and Cronenworth at first base. And, of course, the outfield, you have some people that can hit, like Fernando Tatis Jr., former White Sox farmhand, Fernando Tatis Jr. So he's has to feel good that he's going to a team that's going to compete. And like I said, he seems like the prototypical guy to be a Southern California guy, even though he's from Georgia. California cool as hell. Nothing bothers him too much. And so I want to send my well wishes to the guy, because he was nothing but a professional during his time as a White Sox. And he's going to be a good Padre for the 2 years that they do have him. And so I think the return is the representative of who Dylan Cease was last year and who the Padres think he's going to be in the future. And so I'm happy with the return, but I'm also happy for Dylan Cease getting out of this environment where he's not going to be winning any games here.
I hope he just returns to being sick. He's going to definitely enjoy Petco Park. That's going to hold in some homers. I hope he returns to Cy Cease. That shirt was fun to make. That season was so fun to watch, and he's only 27 with 2 years of control. Like, it should be only up from here with his career, and hopefully we get to see that player shine, because he deserves it. I mean, he seems like he's worked his ass off to get in this position, to be this consistent. He was a sixth round pick, wasn't even the headliner of that Jose Quintana trade, I don't know. I think Dylan Cease, he made me a proud White Sox fan, so it sucks to see him go. Real quick, Renz is rad saying, you guys have to stop disrespecting Steven Wilson. I'm not trying to disrespect Steven Wilson. Honestly, I think Steven Wilson's pretty sick. Wilson, over the past 2 years, an expected batting average of 183. MLB average is 245. He's got a really nasty sweeper, one of the best sweepers in the game. His breaking run value, 92th percentile with a 10 run value. I know that I shouldn't be talking about this too long. I could talk about Steven Wilson all I want tomorrow. But I think overall, this is a really good trade. This is a B plus to an A minus trade for the Sox. It would have been an A plus if you're getting like a true top 10 prospect. And that really just didn't seem like that was the market or was going to happen. And I think Getz pulled the trigger at the right time, because it seemed like the Yankees were interested. The Rangers were interested. The Padres were interested. It seemed like also, again, the point of, you know, this guy's ready to go, and it's not like Snell or Montgomery where they'll have to get ramped up. You know that he's already working on a team's regimen. I think that was the real reason this got done before the season started. So it sucks to see Dylan Cease go, and we will be following the careers of Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, Steven Wilson, and Samuel Zavala for you here at CHGO White Sox Podcast. Any final thoughts?
I wonder if when they get to Korea, if Dylan Cease is going to be one of the starting pitchers on those two game set.
It was so I saw a tweet. He saw a tweet. He's not going to be on the team plan, because I think that's leaving like right now. But yeah. He is supposed to meet the team there. So maybe there will be some adjustment to the probables.
They already named Darvish and Musgrove as the pitcher. So I'd be surprised if they changed him. I think it's like, hey, come enjoy South Korea. I don't think they're going to work.
I mean, they could, or they could just say, boy, wouldn't it be great if Dylan Cease started the home opener?
Yes, right. And we could sell tickets to the home opener. Now I have the one question. Did the Sox and Padres play, Herb? You're the Padre and Sox fan.
Do they play this year?
They'll play. Yeah.
They play, I think, at the end of the year again.
Yeah,
third season in a row. In San Diego, I believe it's this year.
They play every year now, guys.
Yeah. September 20, 21st, and 22nd. No, I know that, but I just –
Because you're right. They've played a bunch of times in the last few years. They were on the schedule of playing each other, and now after last year, once it all went away, now they just always play each other.
Yeah, right. So you'll see Dylan Cease in September as they're gearing up for a postseason run, hopefully. Anyways, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox Emergency Pod. We'll see you at 5 p.m. tomorrow to do this all over again and probably talk more.
I've got something going up on the site very soon.
So check out allchgo.com for Vinny's article. That's Herb Lawrence at EchnerWall23. That's Vinny Duber at Vinny Duber. I'm Sean Anderson at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Thank you to Courtney for the super chat. Thanks for the emergency pod, CHGO crew. Thank you very much. And also make sure that you're hitting the thumbs up button. We got a lot of people watching, but we don't got a lot of likes. So we would really appreciate it for you guys hanging out to hit that thumbs up button. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Adios.
Y'all silly like the mayor.